only 60% of Gen Xers feel, quote, on track, end quote, for retirement. That is the lowest share of any generation, according to a 2024 report that was just released in USA Today just days ago. And what great timing, because we started this conversation last week and are continuing it this morning with Julie Bauke, our career strategist, getting more prepared for retirement. And this week, Julie, if I remember correctly, we were going to talk about buckets, filling our buckets. Am I correct? Am I on track?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Yes. Thank God my brain is working today. Good morning.
You're too young to be losing it. Save that for people like me.
I don't know. When you only get about 5 hours of sleep a night, you know, compound that over 8 years, I'm pretty sure I'm aging myself faster than most.
Oh,
but
gosh,
I love you, though. I love you for having faith in me, Julie Bauke, and for being on this show every week.
I count on you.
Oh, thank God. So, right back at you.
Okay. So the first thing you have to start thinking about, and we talked last time about how this is not about the money part of retirement. This is about what am I going to do with myself? And I hear this from people all the time. Well, and people sometimes who have the resources, they say, I just don't know what I would do with myself if I did retire.
Mm-hmm. Julie, where'd you go, Julie?
Sorry about that.
I'm not ready to lose you. How about that? How about forget about retirement? Don't leave. Don't do that.
Sorry about that. My phone just did something weird. Okay.
That's okay.
So
technology.
What would I do if I did retire?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm going to keep doing this until I figure out. And we hope that it's just going to occur to us that, oh, okay, now here's what I'm going to do. But you actually have to put some thought and some work into it. And one of the things that I did a few years ago, and it was really eye-opening, is I said, all right, I'm going to go out to a page in my calendar that's completely blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fill it in as if I had complete control over my time. And it's really, even the concept of having complete control over your time is something that is really hard for people to get their minds around, because they think, well, wait a minute, you know, I never have complete control over my time. So why, so I don't even know how to start thinking about this, which is why I love it. So you look at your thinking, you say, okay, let's say I got up and went for a walk, had coffee and went for a walk every morning. What does that take you up till about 9:30? Now, what are you going to do? You know, and I think I've talked to people who've retired who actually have that dilemma. They're like, this is going to be great. And so it really forces you to have this thought as to how am I going to spend my time? Now, there are plenty of people out there who have a million hobbies and are like, get out of my way, man. I can fill out my day and more. But that's not everybody. And I think that's a fear we have is, how am I going to spend my time? And so what I forced myself to do was go out and fill it out. And you start to realize, okay, I'm going to need something else to maybe engage my brain, to keep me out and about, to whatever it is your base needs are for being satisfied in your life. How are you going to get those met? And the old model of I'm going to go 100 miles an hour until I'm 62 or 65, and then I'm going to sit on the couch every day, that is not realistic. It's also not healthy.
Mm.
So starting to think about, what does that look like? And I really, really, really recommend you start thinking about that, you know, in your early 50s, because sometimes it takes a while for you to imagine and build out what that's going to be like. And I tell everybody, you know, because I'm a boomer, I tell everybody, look, you are going to get, especially into your mid to late 50s and early 60s, and you will absolutely not want to work in a corporate type job in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start to get like, oh, my gosh, been here, done that.
Right.
Politics, I'm tired. All my managers are a third of my age. And you start to go, wait a minute, I need to do something else. But you can't just create it overnight. You have to start thinking about, okay, so in 10 years, if I plan this right, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, I'm going to have a chance. If I have a chance to leave, I want to make sure I have kind of a plan B, a parachute, something that I go to that I'm going to enjoy, so I'm not in a situation where I have no choice but to slog through. I was talking to a friend last night, and he said, it's funny. He said, the people I talk to who are like near 70, he said, the ones who keep working generally and want to are generally people who have their own thing. They've created a life that has some work, some pleasure, but they're doing the things they want to do.
Mm.
He said, when I talk to people in their 70s who want to stay in corporate America, they generally don't make it because by then they've gotten laid off, they've gotten replaced. And so you've got to think about those realities as well.
I tell you, we're ahead of the news, me and Julie Bauke here, because late last week, USA Today had an article released saying that Gen X is next up for retirement, but are they in denial? It shows only 60% of Gen Xers feel on track for retirement, which is the lowest share of any generation, according to the 2024 report. Three-fifths of Gen Xers worry they will outlive their retirement savings. And, you know, as we talk about this, we're not really focused on the financial end of this, right? I mean, there are people who have to work beyond the years that they thought they would because of finances. But we're talking about more of the population of people who just keep working because they can't envision life after retirement, essentially. So we're trying to help you retire and have a little more, I'd say, peace of mind with that process. So, Julie, you know, interestingly, as you were talking about figuring out that next step and sort of planning, what does that look like? I have, a couple, they're dear friends of ours, and they decided a few years ago they would take 1 month of the year and they would basically transplant themselves to a place in Florida that they really, really love. They used to spend anniversaries there and they would stay there for a full month. And they said the first couple of years of doing this, it was so hard because it was exactly that. They're trying to figure out, what do we do with our days? How do we fill our days? How do we feel like we are, you know, fulfilled? But now, you know, doing it now 4 or 5 years, they look forward to it. And it's one way that they not only have figured out, well, what does life look like after retirement, but the other thing is it's actually helped them to put into perspective, okay, what matters and what doesn't. So we take on a bunch of different roles, for example, throughout our working years and our parenting years and all of that. And sometimes we almost lose track of, okay, you don't even have to get rid of all of it. Maybe you just get rid of some of it, or you reprioritize what matters and what doesn't. So let's talk about, like you're saying, these buckets, if you will, and what do we put into them?
So think you've got two big buckets in front of you right now. And most of it, in the one on the left, is full of everything you do, everything you think about, everything that takes your energy, with your activities, you know, how do you spend your time? That's in the left-hand bucket. And that's probably really full, like it is for most of us. So when you look at the other bucket, and that bucket is empty. How would you fill it if you could? So let me give you some examples.
Yes.
You might look at what's in your current bucket and say, I'd like to keep these things. I volunteer right now, maybe at a food bank, and I definitely want to keep that. In fact, maybe I want to do more of that. Maybe right now I do 8 hours a week. Maybe I want to do 12. And so you want to take a look at each of those things you want to keep and decide, is my level of involvement right now enough? Do I want more? Do I want less? Is it exactly right? And do I want to keep doing it? Let's just pick a number after I'm 55 or 60. Okay, then move that into the bucket. Take everything else. You might have kids that are of a certain age who still need you, but in the next 5 to 10 years, they won't. And so you're going to have some space in that second bucket because the kids won't need you or will need you differently. You may want to keep working. You may, but not in the same way. Maybe you want to do part-time work, maybe 2 to 3 days a week. And for some people, that's a really good transition, is to just step 1 foot out. And so you might look for opportunities where you are, if you like what you do, to stay part-time if you're really valued, or somebody else who'd love to have your experience and wisdom part-time. All right, so now maybe I have 12 hours a week of volunteer work, let's just say, of my 7 days in the new bucket. But I also have maybe 16 to 20 hours of work. Maybe I want to make sure that I'm exercising more. I'm getting out and walking more, that I'm doing the things that are going to help me stay healthy in older age. What's that going to look like? And so you stack up the new bucket. You look at the old bucket and say, what are the things I want to do more of, less of, and never again? Mm. And what might that new bucket look like in an ideal situation? And here's where you have to stop yourself, because as humans, we're so bad at, I think, man, my bucket would look like this. Oh, you'll never get that. And then we move on. It's like, no, don't do that. Remember, we're thinking pie in the sky here. Fill that bucket up with the stuff, the life that's going to make you happy. And then you look at it and say, okay, what can I do? Let's say you say, okay, I've really come to care about this cause. Okay. So you say, I think I might want to do some of that in retirement. Okay. So now what you do is you research the organizations in your area that do that. And maybe you go around and talk to them and ask them what kind of volunteers they look for or how someone with your background might be of help. Maybe there's three organizations that do that. You find the one that you think fits who you are the best. And maybe you put your toe there. Maybe you Saturday mornings, 2 hours a month. And so you can't think your way through this. You have to think, but then you have to get out and act. Maybe get out and talk to people with a background like yours who've transitioned into maybe some consulting work, maybe with a little bit of travel. Talk to them. What works? What doesn't? You know, so you've got to, it's like, imagine what that full bucket looks like. And then you go out and start researching and saying, okay, what would this look like? Mm-hmm. And you will discover along the way that there's some of the things you put in that bucket that you're like, oh God, I never thought I'd like that. But I'd love that. Or,
I hate that. It's interesting you say that, Julie, because I almost am thinking out loud that I don't know if it would be a third bucket per se, but I'm going to call it a basket because it's probably really small. But, you know, when you talk about like thinking about it and acting on it, what about a third bucket, which is past me? And what I mean by that is, so something that I rediscovered about myself, you know, recently, because my kid doesn't like sports, is that when I was growing up all the way through till high school, basically till I got to college and I started working full time, I loved art. I loved it. I loved to paint. I loved to sketch. It was something I was really good at and it was something I really, really enjoyed. But then, you know, you get busy with work, marriage, kids, managing a house, all that. And what's interesting is now that my son is now in school full time and I get out of work and I'm trying to focus more on, like, you know, my mental health and all that good stuff, I'm back to doing art again. I'm back to painting. And all of a sudden, I realize that this is something that I know when I get older that and my husband loves art too, that we've talked about actually, that that's something we look forward to in our retirement years, if you will, is focusing more on, we want to write a book. We want to do art. We want to do more of these like learning opportunities. So whether that's going into a class and getting a certificate in something, like, but these are things that we enjoyed really in our preteen and teenage years that we had to get rid of basically to go into the real world. Yeah. So I don't know what you think about past me
that.
Being a third bucket, but I think we should make a third
bucket,
even if it's small, because it's a small part of your life. But I think past bucket should also be included.
Yeah, you definitely, that's where you'll find clues. What are some of the things that I used to do that I enjoyed that I just haven't had time for? Do I still enjoy them? Or what are some things, you know, when I was going through kind of like a moment, you know, several years ago, I literally had a piece of paper and a pen. And every time I heard about somebody's job, that there was even one component of it that sounded interesting to me, I wrote it down.
You're like, ooh, that sounds like me.
And then now if I would go back and look at that list, it'd be like, yeah, I see threads of myself in each of those jobs, but would I want a steady diet of that? No. But, like, for instance, you know, would it be fun to be, maybe not with kids, but would it be fun to be a substitute teacher maybe a day a week?
I've totally thought about being a professor.
You know?
I've totally thought about doing,
like
getting out of radio at some point and being some kind of a professor talking about communications. Yes, I totally have thought about that.
So, and so it's okay to explore things and then put them back.
Yeah.
But there's so much, but you will find too, as you get older, you're more thinking, okay, you know, I'm feeling like I really need to, you know, take care of my health more. I need to be more focused and intentional about it. So what am I going to do that? And then when you start looking at that, then you can go back to that calendar and say, okay, now that I know these things about myself, or these are things I want to explore,
How am I going to get there?
What are my days going to look like?
I think it's very exciting, Julie Bauke. I think it's kind of turning nervousness and anxiousness into sort of an exciting opportunity with like an unknown. So I don't know. I think you've given us a lot to think about, and I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, I mentioned this book last week or not, but I'm reading this amazing book called Wisdom at Work. It's a guy named Chip Conley, who went back in his 50s and was the mentor to the founder of Airbnb, who was very young. And he writes this whole book about how you take the wisdom that you require as an older person and how do you turn that into something of value.
Oh, I love that.
And I cannot recommend this book enough. In fact, I'm listening to it on Audible. I'm now buying a hard copy because I want to go and highlight. It's Wisdom at Work by Chip Conley. And I suggest you read it in your 50s. So you can start thinking about that transition.
I'm going to read it in my 30s, Julie Bauke, and I'm going to keep having you on the show. That's what I'm going to do. Those are my two plans of attack. Julie Bauke, I appreciate you. Career strategist here for Julie on the Job on WACC.